Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Go Cowboys! Any Cowboys fans? No? All right, we're all disappointed. It's all right. We're a little distraught this morning, but I've got something exciting for you here today. And speaking of sports, we have our sports chaplaincy here. He is a great guy. He born in Athens, Greece. Like, how cool is that? Like, any chance you get to hear somebody from Greece, like, that's got to be itself just, like, setting the bar above everything else right there. This morning, we want to welcome our guest speaker. His name is John Williamson. He's our sports chaplain. And, again, he's from Athens, Greece. And I just hear he's an all-around great guy. So let's welcome him to the stage. He's going to bring the word to us this morning.
Praise God. God's good, man. This is my third opportunity to be in this church. I've been here with three different pastors now. And so you definitely have opportunity to keep growing and growing and growing. And if you haven't heard me before, you don't remember what I do. My name is John Williamson. My wife, Sharon, and I represent the area of sports chaplaincy for AG Missions. And we began this ministry about 15 years ago. I grew up as a God. And I got called in the ministry after playing college football at the University of Arkansas. No booze, please. Thank you very much. Incidentally, there's a couple of guys from high school that played with me. A guy named Del Chun and another guy. I can't remember the other fellow's name. But it's amazing to see how creative the Lord can use a missional call. Amen. Some of the things that you might be interested in, what do we do? See, when I was an HE kid and growing up, there was a sports ministry that was Pentecostal. So when I got called to be in ministry as a missionary, the thought originated, why not start something that isn't there yet? How many think it's a good thing? Yeah. Amen. And so that's what we did 15 years ago. And so what's interesting, functioning in the world of chaplaincy, chaplains are everywhere in the most unusual places, but more predominantly they're outside the walls of the church, taking the church to the world. In the foyer, there's a table, and on that table, it tells you the different places there's chaplains. There's NASCAR chaplains, golf chaplains. Some of us need chaplains when we play golf, amen? There's so many different kinds of chaplains. If you see, just visit that table, you'll see all the different ways that you can serve the Lord. But this is within your church and within this community, you could also represent an arm of chaplaincy in ministry. So please just go by there and check the table out and see what we do. Now, some of the things we do is we equip churches like yourself to use the platform of sports, share Christ in this nation and around the world, teach your community during the summertime through sports, mega sports camp, great material you put together. This gives you an opportunity of a church to host a sports camp. And what a way to minister to your neighborhood or your community or to kids their mom's going to get rid of for a week. Amen. Especially in the evenings from 6 to 8. Amen. In the evening. This gives you an opportunity not only to serve community, but it provides you an opportunity to be able to share Christ through the platform of sports that's already being promoted in this city. How many know sports is a big deal in Texas? And all different flavors of sports. As you see, one of the things you'll see on that table is the way that we package the Bible. We're able to get these in. These are basketballs, soccer balls, footballs on the outer cover. This is the way it allows us to get them into the public schools and to be able to share Christ because of how it's patched. You know, it's very important to pack the gospel to meet the target you're trying to hit. Amen. So if you want to check these Bibles out, they're on the table as well. Brother Les, thank you so much for being back there, brother. Praise God. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, will you stand with me for the reading of this morning? We're going to go through the slides some more. We're going to read the first verse of 2 Timothy, and then we're going to go right into the end of the slides, okay? Thank you so much. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It's a very good verse, speaks right to the heart of what we each want to do one day when we stand before the Lord. We want to have these declarations intact when we stand before the Lord one day. And here's what these declarations are. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, but not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Would you bow with me? Father God, help us to be candidates to these three declarations one day. Even before we meet our Maker, may we have a contented heart. Know we've done the best we can do to be the light that you've chosen us to be a light to. Lord, we give you glory and honor, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, one of the ways that we are able to share this gospel message and be able to be a candidate to make those three statements is you'll see, go ahead and go to the site for the NFL football camp. One of the ways that we're able to get into different roads is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to different areas. Now, as a sports chaplain, I'm showing you how I represent you in ministry as a missionary. And so as we have partners missions, this is where your fingerprints would be upon that great. It's a great thing. We were able to share in the NFL ball camps, promoted every service with some of the college athletes that we ministered to, and they go into the NFL. Then they host camps. The NFL pays for us to share the gospel. How many think that's a good thing? I mean, it's a great thing. And we share the gospel. We share by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and why that's important in your life. Go to the next slide. The different things we do. This was actually a ministry in northern part of the northern sea, I mean, of the Black Sea, right in the southern part of Ukraine. See, sports gives you the opportunity to break barriers, cultural barriers, and even religious barriers. What we were doing in this particular outreach is we were having a sports camp while the underground church movement was working, recruiting the parents of the kids that were watching the camp. Why was that significant? Because we're literally in the backyard of a mosque. I don't know if that was a little intimidating, but I knew who I was working for. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Sharing the gospel of Christ. If you've ever been to BGMC, y'all give to BGMC or Life of the Lost or different ways to get gospel literature out. Well, this is where your money goes. And that you need to know where your money goes. Amen. So this is one of the ways that we're able to share the gospel. Bibles, Tatar language that doesn't say tater, just so y'all know that. That's a people group from Ukraine. This is one of the Genghis Khan Empire. You ever heard of Genghis Khan? Not grill, but empire? Okay. All right, so this is one of the tribes of that region. They were the horse tribe of the Genghis Khan Empire, the Tatar people. And as we're sharing the gospel, church, this is what you have a part to participate in. All across the world, get to missionaries and missions works that share gospel literature and put the Bible in the hands of people that has their own dialect. That's important. It's such a beautiful opportunity to be able to encounter that, to be able to experience that. So thank you for allowing me as a missionary to do that. Let's go to the next slide. Here we are coming back a year later. A year later, after we returned from that original outreach, we were, like I said, it was the underground church movement, and this was the home groups that were established. Do you see the gentleman in the orange shirt? He's the first convert of village. He's 83 years old. His wife's 78. We went back to that village, and we saw the home group from the sports camp that we were able to be a part of. It's interesting to see how creative the Lord works. Amen. So let's go to the next slide. I'll show you some interesting things. This is in Senegal, West Africa. Now, your pastor is not far from this region. This was in, this wasn't Senegal. It's almost a neighboring region of Liberia where pastor's at today. And as we're sharing the gospel in the language of the people group, it's incredible to see how God gave us access. We got access to this village by soccer. And I would just bring balls and bicycles. And God used both of those things to create an opportunity to share Christ. Let's go to the next slide. This is in Fort Portal, Uganda, East Africa, doing the Bible Project. This is what we do in the summertime as sports chaplains, partnering with missionary units around the world and using some form of sports to get the gospel in the lives of people. Let's go to the next slide. This is in the Kondo village of Portal, Uganda. God did a tremendous miracle here. We didn't get access originally to speak. This happened 8 years ago. We did not get access originally to speak to this village. Well, what ended up happening, the English occupied this region of Africa in the 1600s. So there literally was a fort, and it was literally located there. But outside of that area, we were able to share the gospel with this village because we struck a deal up with the chief of the village. Now, this is formerly a Muslim village. And so as we're asking, the soccer balls, we brought the bicycles, we brought candies for the kids. And as we're ministering outside, we actually asked the chief of the village for the opportunity and access to the village, permission, basically, to minister to his village. He said, yes, you definitely can. And then we got into this discussion about who is the Son of God. Is the Son of God Muhammad, the Son of God Jesus? So as we're getting to this conversation and talking about who the true Son of God is, one of the ladies had a little girl come up to her, and her little girl asked the lady, are you talking about Jesus? Yes. Now, the English language has been in this region since the 1600s. Yes, talking about Jesus. Do you think Jesus could heal my daughter, or heal my sister who was born deaf? Now, I'm trying to convince the chief of the village, right, that Jesus and Muhammad aren't the same, and all of a sudden, God shows up with an opportunity to prove himself. Okay? So we struck a deal with the chief of the village, and it was this. Would it be okay if if we prayed for her in the name of Jesus, but could you pray for her in the name of Muhammad first? And the one true Son of God will show up by whose name she's healed through. Right? Now, I tell you, I'm a little intimidated, quite frankly, because I had never seen a miracle happen right in front of me. But whose reputation was at stake? Amen. I had to be the take the step of faith, right? So as I took a step of faith, he prayed in the name of Muhammad. Nothing seemed to happen. His prayer was really loud. I prayed in the name of Jesus, simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray in this young lady's ear so she could hear and this whole village could hear the one true Son of God is in the name of Jesus. And it was almost like you heard a pop. And this little girl's ears was opened. And now, since tears, you see the church has started there. Isn't that awesome? It's incredible to know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a kid growing up in church always hear about miracles. Never seen one. And seeing God use you, knowing you're perfect, to have an opportunity to step across fear to faith and him to show up. Whew! I'm telling y'all, it was awesome. It showed beyond the Bible story, beyond the story, the encounter, and that's what we're about. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. As that church was planted 8 years ago, it's still thriving to today. Soccer reaches, this is in West, this is actually neighboring Liberia where pastor's at. This is in Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. Next slide. Transition to that, yeah, to that trucks, to those trucks. Thank you very much. Those trucks were bought by, you guys do Speed the Light. If you do, this is Speed the Money for trucks that go out to the village. We're going to a village called Injim. In 6 years ago, this church was destroyed by Islamic extremists, burnt down. The participants of that church were taken out that Sunday morning, and they were all executed in front of the church, and they were buried in a mass grave right outside of the area where we're about to go. Let's go to the next slide. This is the region, they're right in front where the orange-shirted gentleman is. He's bending down. So there's a marker, and in that area is where the graves are. We're able to resurrect a new church from a church that had been burnt down. You know, where man or evil tries to destroy what God is doing, God can always raise up a church around the ocean to fund something incredible to be built again. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. So as that's being built, within the last 2 years, this is what their sanctuary that they had existed in. Let's go to the next slide. This was the finishing framework of the tabernacle that's put up. Let's go to the finish. The next slide right there, the finished product. That's the finished product right there, church. Isn't that awesome? It's truly awesome. Each of those kits cost $6,000 to put up. And so there's been churches and people that have partnered with this project, and it goes right exactly to that project to the penny. It's very important, church, know that we live in a big world, and God can use us, each and every one, to impact his kingdom, impact the kingdom of the world for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Things you can do is partner with us for a church kid, or partner with us for outreaches in the summer. We do an athlete conference every year in Phoenix, Arizona. Just this last 2 years, Joe Namath came to the conference and got saved. Before that, we had about 32 WWE wrestlers that came. Al Michaels came and got saved. Superstar Billy Graham came. The Undertaker was there. George the Animal. So all these old wrestler guys that I grew up with. God is not afraid of men in tights. Amen. Hallelujah. He's doing a work. His spirit responds to the hungry, church. And the more opportunities we step out, the more he's able to meet us there. Thank the Lord. Amen. You can go and take that off the screen for me. Completely off. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I shared the verse today in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 about the three declarations we want to make one day before the Lord. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. You know, what's amazing about that verse is that each one of us want to make those statements one day. But there's certain things that we've got to be putting within our life, characteristics of a believer, characteristic of someone who's fighting to be right and live right. There's characteristics that each person must have, you know. Sometimes we get turned in the wrong direction, and it takes somebody to turn us back in the right direction. You know, the year was 1929, and this gentleman was named Roy. Roy was in the Rose Bowl that day, and, man, he was so gung-ho for his team. He was about to do something great. He's going to score a touchdown in the Rose Bowl. He's so excited. What's ended up happening, though, he's on defense, and he picks up a fumble. And as he picks up the fumble, he picks it up, and he's hit it. I mean, he's taking off. Ears in the back. I mean, he's going for the goal line. Right before he gets on about the 2-yard line, before he's about to score a touchdown, his teammate, Benny Long, tackled him, purpose, because he was heading in the wrong direction. He was about to score a touchdown for his own other team, amen? But his teammate came around and tackled him. You're headed in the wrong direction. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share with you a few things this morning, just in case you're headed in the wrong direction. I'm here to help you not make those final two steps. Now, what's interesting about the rest of the story, at halftime after that happened, the coach for Roy's team came up to him at halftime, put his arm around his neck, and he makes this statement to him. He says, I bet you're not even wanting to go back out in the second half. He says, Coach, I'm totally embarrassed. How could I go out in the second half? Sometimes we have embarrassing moments in public eye. But God can still use people to turn the right direction. Amen? How would you like to be him? I would feel that discouragement. I would understand what he's talking about. You know what? He meant well. He was giving it all his heart. And he was doing what he thought was right. But you know what? Then it ended up the way that he thought. You know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. For peace and for well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever come to a place in your life when you're ready for that hope to come alive? Are you ready for that future to be revealed? You know, today, I want to talk about four particular points. Point number one, you got to realize that you've been chosen to make a difference regardless of where you've come from. Regardless of the circumstances you were brought in, you've been chosen to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven. You see, every human is different today. But God knows what each one of us needs in the season of our need. He had Abraham take a walk. He had Elijah take a nap. How many wants a nap? He had Joshua take a lap and Adam take the rap. Of course, it wasn't only his choice. He was there in the garden. Amen. He gave Moses a 40-year timeout, and he gave David a harp and a dance. He gave Paul a pen and a scroll. He wrestled with Jacob, and he agreed with Job. Not only agreed and argued with him. He talked back and forth with Job. He warned Cain, and he comforted Hagar. He gave Aaron an altar and Miriam a song, Gideon a fleece and Peter a name. And he gave Elisha a mantle. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was stern with the rich young ruler. And he was tender to the woman that was caught in adultery. He was patient with the disciples. And you know, he was blistering with the scribes. He was gentle with the children and gracious with the thief on the cross. You see, our God is such a handcrafter. He knows what you need exactly when you need it that's going to make the most impact in your life. John 15 and 16 makes this declaration out of the scripture because I know that I know me. How many can say I know me? John 15 and 16 is the scripture where Jesus looked at the disciples and he knew that they would betray him and they would make mistakes. And here's what he says to them. He says very clearly, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've appointed you and I've placed you purposefully, planted you so that you would go forth and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit and that your fruit would remain and be long lasting. We are chosen based on where we currently are. We're chosen based on the ability of the potential God's placed within each of us. Each of us have been given the same amount of potential to do great things for the Lord. We just got to realize that God, he can use anything at any time in any person. Ladies and gentlemen, the mission from this verse looked at us and he chose us. He said, you're the best I have at your job. You're the best I have at your school. You're the best I have in your family. I chose you. The mission chose you. The mission chose me. You may ask, why are we chosen? Who are the chosen today? I'm going to brag about you a little bit. How many have been bragged on from the pulpit? I'm going to brag on y'all because I'm going to tell you who you are. You are the chosen. See, the chosen thrive like no other when confronted with adversity. When tremendous challenges come up, they rise to the challenge. The chosen look for the hurdles and the surmountable obstacles. Why? Because they're chosen knowing who they're working and living for. Who are the chosen today? They look forward to the fight and the struggle. And eventually the unbelievable breakthrough. You're living in breakthrough today. Since the three times that I've been here, this church loves each other so much today, so much even more than in earlier years. So y'all know that. As a missionary coming in here and a guest minister, I realized something. Like each other. And it's important, like the people that you're going to church with, because you can do more for the kingdom of heaven in agreement than in disagreement. Amen? Who are the chosen? I'm bragging about today. The chosen are ordinary people who have an extraordinary desire to excel, to reach out and stretch toward the goals that would make the average person up. Church, you have not given up. You pressed on. God has greater days ahead for you. Who are the chosen? They prepared to go to that place where anybody would even think to have gone. Who are the chosen? You're just not hearers of the word, but you're doers of the word. That's the chosen. And I'm talking about you today because of the impact you've made in this community. How do you know the impact you've made in this community? If your church would be taken somewhere else and placed somewhere else in the state of Texas, would it even be noticed that you were gone from this community? How much impact are you making in this town and in this community based on the calling that God has chosen you for? That's how you know how much of an impact you're having. That's how you know how much more that you can do, even though you've done a lot already. What that tells you, it's a challenge. The chosen. See, the chosen look forward to the next opportunity because the chosen stand in the gap for those who cannot stand in the gap for themselves. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 says this. I look for someone among them to stand in the gap for the people, for the sake of the land, so that I would not have to destroy the land. This scripture was written before you and I existed. So that here's the question you would ask yourself today. Who am I standing in the gap for this morning? Lord, where are you leading to stand in the gap of my community? You see, the church has been created to stand in the gap for those who do not know and those who have not encountered. Who are the chosen? Who are the chosen? Ladies and gentlemen, you're the chosen, so live with the choice. When the Lord says, I can use you, don't tell him why you can't. When the Lord says, greater is that's in you than he that's in among the world, then don't worry about what the world's doing. Speaking life into you in declaration. You see, what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to seek and save that which is lost. And your church must be known for those things. To seek and to save that which is lost. Now, how do you do that? Amen? Amen. How do you do that? How do you seek and save that which is lost? Well, you seek and save that which is lost by doing a very specific thing that Jesus did. Go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house be full. So that scripture tells you and me that the possibility of a full house is possible. And that's his goal as well as yours. Every seat that's empty in this house today, there's this Holy Spirit assignment for him to draw all men unto the Lord. Who does he draw men to if it's not represented? The Holy Spirit orders us to the righteous. So that tells me you have an idea, a thought to Walmart. Well, it's not just a thought, it's an order. The Holy Spirit has ordered your steps on purpose. Why? Because the believers are the light to the world. And so he's going to lead the light right to darkness. And he's going to lead the darkness to light. On the other side of the testimony of those that are yet in these seats lies this reality, your choice to be obedient or not. Let me give you some examples today. Go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. Well, I have a buddy who pastors in Florida. And this gentleman one day got a meeting by one of the arch members of the church, 83-year-old church lady. Now, she wasn't really complaining. She was just a little, have you ever been irritated, holy irritation? And so she's a little irritated, and she was 83. Remember, she's 83. And so here she is. She's like, she wants to meet with her pastor. Pastor, can we meet? Pastor, can we meet? So she meets on that Wednesday, and so she meets with the pastor. She said, Pastor, I don't really understand where I fit. I'm not speaking against you or anything, but I don't understand the music. I don't understand the model. I don't understand where I've been on the team because the church has so changed in my lifetime that I don't know my place on the team. Okay? I think it's a good thing to say to your pastor. It's not really a negative thing. It's like, I want to be on the team. Show me where I'm supposed to be. Amen? So the pastor was smart, and he said, well, why don't you come to service tonight? Because I'm speaking in this message titled, If You're Still a Pew, He Has Something for You to Do. Amen. So these are pews, the chairs. These are work. Amen. So if you are here today and you're still in the pew, you wonder, what do you fit on the team? Maybe it could be like this church lady that happened. It's not really an agitation, but it's like a holy frustration on the inside. You want to know where you fit. What's the next step for you? How to represent Christ? Well, pastor said that, so preached that night on packaging the gospel. He preached that night. Unpackage the gospel to meet this target. So, you know, when Jesus did this, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven to fishermen, he talked in fishing terms. When he talked about the kingdom of heaven to builders, he talked in building terms. So he was packaging the gospel to reach its target. So she went home from the church that night and drove by this establishment right down the road from the church. It was a gentleman's club. And as she passed there, the Holy Spirit whispered this to her, pray for the girls dancing in that club like your kin. Now, God knows how to call a prayer warrior and put the prayer warrior into the team. Amen? So he did. She prayed for the girls dancing in the club. She prayed for them like they were again. Till the next Wednesday night when Pastor re-emphasized packaging the gospel. And she said, okay, what do I do with this message? Like you do after Pastor preaches. Amen. Pastor, if you're watching, everybody does this. Amen. And so here's what happens. She felt like the Lord directs her to go to Dillard's the next day and buy a gift and wrap it. And she did. She held it in her car till the next Wednesday night. The next Wednesday night, as she came to church, she drove by the gentleman's club. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to go. She says, okay. She said, she got her gumption up. Y'all know what gumption is? She got, okay, Lord, this is interesting, right? She stops in the club. She approaches the front door. A young lady meets her at the front door with this statement. Ma'am, do you know where you're at? You're like, she might have Alzheimer's and not realize where she's at. Church lady says, yes, ma'am, I sure do. As a matter of fact, I've been by our church, which is right down the road, our pastor's Pastor Betzer, and I want to let you know something. You and all the girls dancing in this club, you're welcome in our church. And how many think that's a faith statement? How many would say that's a highways, but you more or less, that's a hedge of the community? What did Adam and Eve do when they knew that they sinned and broke what God said not to do? They hid themselves in the hedge. They actually tried to put the hedge around them. Okay? Could it just be that those that you are going to reach are in the hedges of your community today that have a name on these seats? What's the rest of the story? Here's the rest of the story. Church lady has that present. Remember, this is three Wednesdays. She began to pray. Then God said, go buy a gift. And then she didn't wait to do it, that gift, till the Lord said, do it. See, church, what I'm trying to tell you is the steps of the righteous are definitely ordered of the Lord. But on the other side of testimony, the Holy Spirit speaking to a person that needs to encounter Christ. Building a hunger for the things of God. What ended up happening is this. It's so beautiful. She says, ma'am, can I just come in and sit down? So they go in and sit down, and the only table available is up at the front where everything happens. Nobody really acknowledges her. So here they are. She has the present, the club, the present, the church lady. Can you see the picture? And the dancing girl at the table. She puts the present on the table. Dancing girl says, who's this present for? Church lady began to tell the story. Wednesday nights ago, I drove by here and the Holy Spirit said to pray. Pray for you like you're my kin. Two Wednesday nights ago, talked about the package, talked about the gift. She said, I've been carrying this gift in my car for a week and sent up to church. The Holy Spirit said, come here right now. And I believe this gift is for you. The dancer girl says this, ma'am, do you know me? She says, no, I don't know you. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit told me to do as I represent our church. She said, yesterday's my birthday. She said, they called me. I didn't let any people know. I'm not proud of what I'm doing. I just find myself in the lifestyle that I'm participating in right now. But I had a thought statement, God. It was, God, if you even care I exist, would you give me a gift? You're telling me, John, 3 weeks before this testimony, a church lady didn't know where she fit on the Her biggest challenge through the day to make sure her prescriptions didn't get mixed up. But now she's faced with an opportunity to be engaged in the fight for souls. Crying out, bring Jesus to me in your hedges and on the highways in your city. Be engaged. Be engaged. So she begins to cry. She receives the gift. Church lady says, we only need Jesus Christ, your Lord. She says, yes. I pray right there. Now the church lady and this lady become to be discipled. She says, you need to come to church. And we need to disciple you. So for 1 year, she was discipled. And about a year, she turned to her pastor. And she said, Pastor, I think the Lord wants me to go back. And he says, what exactly do you mean? And she says, do you think I could take a 15-passenger van, pick the girls up when they get off work about 6 a.m., get them fed up and sobered up and to the 8 a.m. service? Do you think that'd be okay? And pastor said, well, try it. First time I did it, 7 girls came. To church. The girl's going to come and be curious because they knew who she was and what her lifestyle used to be like. God's not afraid of the lifestyles of the world, but many times we are. Because we're just a little insecure about it. It's okay. It's normal. But that's the area where we got to stand in the gap for those that don't know and those that have never heard. Why? They just need someone
to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit of God, I don't care what amount of fear I'm going to have to step over, but I'm going to take steps based on fear. I'm going to take steps based on faith, because all the faith has substance attached to it. Amen? So in event, she goes, she gets the girls. They're coming. They end up getting saved throughout the, you know, all of a sudden the owner of the club's like, where are all the girls going? And he gets like, he starts seeing their lifestyles changing. And guess what happens? He gets saved. And then guess what happens next? The Bible says, we're going to destroy the works of the devil in your community. Does it not say that? What is the way which seems right to a man to destroy the works of the devil? To pick it into something. Right? The way which seems right to men always brings destruction and death. When the Holy Spirit is engaged and activates a believer in the church to fit the team and the position on that team at that moment, at that season of her life, and that team says, okay, Lord, here I am, send me. And all of a sudden, God initiates this thing called the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. There's no thing, there's nothing that binds us from that and keeps us some barriers from that. Wow. Now you go by there and guess what happens? That building's been torn down. And it's a parking lot. The church uses for special events. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Come on. Listen, God's not scared of the things that we fear. He's not scared of the things we fear, ladies and gentlemen. He's here for us. And he wants to use us beyond what we've ever thought we could be used. I just had a great call. He just passed away. He's 83 years old. He was in Gore, Oklahoma. He's a war veteran. He was the oldest in his county. Great legacy. But one of the things that was interesting about him, he said, don't be caught not being obedient to God's Spirit, because all he wants is the best for you. You know, it's so important to live with that thought. All right, we're chosen, right? We're chosen to be a candidate to make those three statements. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Chosen to go to the highways and hedges to compel them to come in that his house and by his church might be saved. Let me give you another testimony. Another pastor in Northwest Arkansas, Boonville, Arkansas, about 600 people was the population of the town. When I spoke in his church that particular morning, there was about 250 people there. I really know they're in a fire code violation. Unbelievable. So here we are. His church is probably the front area here in the center section. But when I spoke that morning, they had folding chairs all the way around the church and in the fronters. He took me out to after I shared that morning, and he said, I'll tell you a testimony of what God has done in my church. I was like, hey, tell me. Tell me, Pastor. He said, do you see the young man sitting on the front? He said, I'm going to tell you a story about that young man on the front left that had two front missing teeth and looked a little muscular and a little stringy. And I was like, okay. He goes, do you know that 21 days ago, I got fighting mad? I said, whoa, really? You confess something to me here, Pastor? He goes, no, I got fed up. He goes, God called me to this town. And crystal meth has more an impact in this town than the church does. I said, what are you saying? He said, I just got fed up and I realized something. That God has the gifts of the Spirit available to be used for our believers. He said, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of interpretation. But Lord, you've never used me in a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So he said, okay, Lord, I'm fed up. I want to be supernaturally directed by the steps you ordered in front of the number one drug dealer in our county. That is a crazy prayer. That's a fed up prayer, church. Amen? So here he's at Walmart. It's deer season. He wants to buy a new buck knife. As he's sitting across the aisle and he's looking at the knives, he looks across where the fishing poles are, and the Holy Spirit whispers this, that's the number one dealer in your county right over there. He says, okay, right? So he says, he just began to muster a little faith. He said, I walked up to the young man. I got my card. I said, hey, I'm Pastor Frost from the Assembly of God Church here in town. As I was looking over here, as I saw you, I just felt like you were a young man influence in our community. They've influenced been influence, amen? Now, I just believe that God is a top 10 in your community, that when you engage the faith dynamic, that he wants the souls to be saved, when they get saved, it'll be a domino effect, and these places will be full. Here's what happened. After he left the young man and gave him his card, he said he realized that young man didn't say anything back to him. So he thought, well, either I missed God, but no, surely I didn't, because it wasn't tacos that I was hearing, amen. It was told of the Holy Spirit, right? So he said for the next 21 days, this young man began to call him at the hours of 4 and 6 a.m. in the morning. He said he just started adjusting his daily schedule for 4 to 6 a.m. call by this young man. He said, for some reason, I couldn't get him a heart out of my mind. I was just consumed with praying for him and praying over him and speaking words, life over him. And I didn't even really know him yet. But he said, you know what? I began to adjust my schedule to be aligned with the schedule of the Holy Spirit, because if God was about to do something great, I didn't want to miss it. So he did. He began to adjust his schedule. Okay, Lord. Okay, what's going to happen? Well, the last phone call that every pastor would like to get one day, it happened at the end of 20 days. And it was this phone call. Pastor, he said, the young man said, since you gave me your card, I have not been able to get peace. Do you know how I can get peace? Question to ask a pastor, amen? The pastor said, as a matter of fact, I do want you to just meet me at the church. You're already up and I'm up. I want you to just come right now to the church. So they prayed to Christ, the Lord and Savior. Well, long story short, that was the young man on the front row, on the left side. He said, John, what you don't understand is I'm the chaplain for the police department. He said, did you see the police chief over here on the right side? I said, it looked like a fire truck. He said, yeah, they both go to my church. That's why there was no fire code violation in my church. Amen. Said, you see that? I said, yeah. He goes, when I told the chief of police who just got saved, he had warrants he could serve against this young man. But he said he wanted to see if he could do more good outside the jail than inside of jail. He said, did you see the young people sitting 2-year-olds behind him? I said, yeah. He goes, those are the kids that sold for him in the county and around the JC and the different high schools in this region. He said, John, drugs has went down 32% in my county by this one soul getting saved. Church, if you want to change your community, don't believe the impact and the fear that Satan has tried to say that the community and his presence is more powerful than the presence and the calling of God. He's called you and chose you to go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. If you're bored in life, get engaged in the church. Get engaged. Why? He has a job for you to do, and that his jobs always turn a joyful result. Because there's a life at stake. Who's here today? You say, I'm saved. Well, that means you're righteous. You're trying to live right. So that tells me steps are going to be ordered this week. God's going to order your steps right in front of somebody. Right now, God's ordering your steps. And he, on the backside of that testimony, is drawing somebody else into your path. So be cautious of how you react to the issues of life and the words you choose to use in public. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak death. A spiritual Christian should be the most joy-filled Christian on the planet. And at your job site, you should be the most attractive. You should work harder than anybody else, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the wind. That same spirit which raised Christ from the dead would dwell in you and dwell in me. You know what he'll do? He'll quicken our mortal body. We should stand out in an attractive way. Not in a weird way. But in a way that somebody will look at us and say, you know what? Your daddy just died. But you look like you have joy. I don't understand why that happens. And you go, you know what? It's because I know where he's at. And I know that one day I'll see him again. You see, there's a joy unspeakable, because those who don't know that joy can't speak about it. But there's a joy you know about it. Why? Because he chose you. He chose you. Not only did he choose you to seek and save that which is lost, to destroy the works of the devil. He chose you to go to all in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, which literally means all creation. Now, would you say there's a lot of creatures in the world today? Who's called to reach them? We are, no matter what they look like. So, I was at Arizona State University. We were first in Chi Alpha Campus Ministry, our first 10-year ministry. I was at Arizona State, a campus of about 50,000 students. I'm walking by and praying on the campus one day. Now, we had a Chi Alpha group, but you know, they all looked like me. They're all athletic. They're all outgoing. They all tend to gravitate towards me. And here's what's interesting, what God did to me one day. He's told me this thought as praying on campus. I walked by the art and drama department on the campus, and the Holy Spirit asked me this, said this statement to me. It wasn't really a question. It was a statement like, who are you? I'm like, okay, who am I? No. Who are you? Okay, who am I? No. Who are you, John, to determine who the gospel goes to? I'm like, hey, Lord, what are you saying to me? He's saying, why haven't you invited the art and drama department to be a part of Chi Alpha? I'm like, Lord, they don't look like me. Have you seen how they look? They don't talk like me. Have you heard what they say? They don't eat as I eat and drink things I drink. You know what they do? Right? The Lord says, who are you to choose who I save? I've called you to seek and save that which is lost. The lost is not categorized in that which you are comfortable with. That's called a Pentecostal whooping. I don't know if y'all know that. So here's what we did. We set up a total meeting just for the art and drama department. I sent out 6,000 invitations for every student that was in that program. 123 showed up. I was excited, but also kind of intimidated. So I was like, Lord, before this service happened, like, what do we need? Well, we need free food for college students, so we got free food. Amen. So, okay, well, they can't eat till after they hear the message. Why don't we do that? But we do that. Amen? Well, it's like, okay, this is art and drama, art and drama. Lord, art and drama, help me, Lord. Oh, okay. So I put an art canvas, an art easel up here with some paint and some paintbrushes. Sculpting table on this side with clay and water and to be able to sculpt into shape. Then the Lord said, why don't you use my word? Because my word won't return void. Do you know how the scripture talks about in Psalms that God has painted a canvas? The canvas of life, the canvas of the world, right? So I spoke on the scripture about Colossians 23, whatever you do, do it as glory unto the Lord. So painting can be done as glory unto the Lord, and sculpting can be done as glory unto the Lord. Then we used the scripture in Jeremiah where it says we're on the sculpting table and the Lord shapes. The potter is sculpting, but you know what? The potter puts that table in motion or nothing's going to happen. The motion is to be put, then water is put to the clay. And the clay is shaped, but the clay is not shaped by being pressed down. That clay is shaped by being lifted up. And how the end of that vase is the heart. And how that God works from the inside out, lifting you up. Just as that vessel is shaped. But we had an altar call that night. It was beautiful. Of course, I didn't really know what it was called, right? How to respond. But there was a little girl, and she was up front row, and I noticed her face. And she was all gothed out. Goth was big and grunge. Goth and grunge. Y'all know what that is? She was so gothed out, the Holy Spirit was moving in her life, and all she could do was cry. So we're talking about mascara everywhere. Tammy Faye Baker moment. Amen. Exactly what it was. I mean, grapes of wrath all over again. There it was. And so here we see God moving. God's moving on her. She was right there. And I was like, wow, Lord, you're touching her. So I just told the Chi Alpha group, I said, anybody who wants to know who Christ is, we're going to have Chi Alpha leaders just come up and pray with you. So I started to ask her what her name. Her name was Bernadette. I said, can I pray with you? She said two statements. She said, did you put electricity in the seats? I said, no, that's commonly what the Bible talks about when you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You might feel electricity. She goes, did you put something warmth and happy in the atmosphere? Like aromatherapy or something, right? And I was like, no. She goes, well, I just feel this peace and this love that I've never experienced before. She goes, is this who you're talking about? Talk about Jesus. I said, yes, he came for you and he died for you and he's provided a way for you. Boy, you're feeling this the power of the Holy Spirit because you're a masterpiece. God didn't create you on a factory line. He created you on purpose and intentional. You're not an accident. He loves you and he brought you here on purpose today. She goes, will you pray? When we prayed, she accepted Jesus. It was beautiful. I was crying. She was crying. It was awesome. Talking about the Lord. I feel the love of the Lord, man. She's so happy and just up. I mean, she's just got encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. I began to visit with her and we begin to go out of the classroom to the free food. She reaches her backpack. She pulls out a cigarette, sits up. She goes, oh, I feel the love of God. And I thought, no. I was brought up in a church where that can't happen. Okay? Once again, the Holy Spirit began to whoop on me. Here's what he says to me. Your job's to catch. I'm clean. That's what he said. He said, if you say anything to her, she will start to make behavioral choices based on man's law versus having her want her changed to where she could truly have freedom and the freedom that's spoken of in Christ. And I began, so you mean, Lord, a cigarette in somebody's hand doesn't limit them from your grace? He said, who are you to chew I save? Holy Spirit of God is moving in each person's life here today. You know what he's doing? He's setting up this for your week. Here's what's going to happen this week. He's going to whisper something to you, and you're going to say, Lord, surely not. Do you not realize that David served his generation, then he died? Come on up, Brother Les. He served his generation, then he died. Do you know what? Some of you have been saying, why am I still here? I don't want to be here no more. And the Lord says, I still have an order for you to fulfill. I can't take you home to fulfill your orders. Because we want to stand before the Lord with that clear conscience. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Lord, I have not left nothing to myself. I am completely spent and my conscience is clear. And I know I've done everything I can do to win one more soul. One more soul. You're telling me because he orders your steps, could souls possibly be assigned to you and me to stand in the gap for them? I'm telling you, that's the truth and that's the fact of it. So my challenge for you today, go ahead, Brother Les. Be intentional with your lifestyle. Don't waste time. You might just think, oh, it's just a thought. I went to Walgreens to pick something up. And all of a sudden, there's this thought. The Lord says, tell that girl over there, tell that over there that I know them, that I love them, that I know about them, and just pray for them. Would you do it? Would you do it right in public, not even knowing the words to say? You don't have to know the words to say. All you do is say, hey, can I pray for you real quick? Or you can say, you know what? I just wanted to, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I just saw you over here. I just wanted to share something with you. And you know, I'm a Christian. You might be, but I just want to let you know something. God wants me to let you know that this year is going to be better than last year. And if you'll just be willing to include him in this year. You know, it doesn't take much to step into the highway where everybody's going. It takes a lot of faith to step into the hedge. The hedge could be right across your yard to your neighbor. The hedge could be right across the cubicle to that guy that parties every weekend. Which all I'm saying is, will you join me to make a declaration to the Lord this morning? It says, Lord, I don't want to live a life with meaningless days that don't have spiritual significance. Because that's the way I lived before I knew you. But Lord, you order my steps, so help me be included in knowing your orders. Bow with me this morning. Lord, we love you. Oh. Lord, there's been a sweet press here all day. Lord, there's teenagers here today that are just battling through high school. They're trying to fit in. Their identity is open to you today. They say, Lord, hurry here, send me. Whatever high school you represent, you stand in the gap for that high school. You stand in the gap for your teammates. You stand in the gap for your schoolmates. Sir, you stand in the gap for that gentleman that works with you. And he's totally not like you. But the Holy Spirit's been on him this weekend. And all of a sudden, you're going to have an opportunity, orders from the Lord to minister to him this week. Ma'am, God's going to use you to speak to the life of a marriage that's on the brink of total destruction. God's going to use you to speak to the life and to some lady who feels alone in the same room with her spouse, yet she sits on the couch and feels alone. Church, will you pray with me? Lord, we pray for the families this weekend that are in jeopardy of dissolving. We pray for the marriages this weekend that are being tormented. Lord, that are being hurt, that are being harmed. God, we pray for them right now, and we stand in the gap for them. We stand in the gap for teachers and coaches in this city that their marriages might be challenged this weekend. Lord, we stand in the gap for those in this very church, in this very house, in this church family, that their marriages have no life. Lord, I come against resentment from last year, and I pray it be put under your blood starting this year. Oh, God. Lord, ignite love. Godly, spiritful love. Reignite it, Lord. Reignite it, Lord. Lord, we come against the spirit of loneliness because you said it's good for man to be alone. Today, you say this to me. You'd say, Brother John, I want to be a candidate to make those three statements. I fought the good fight. I fought the race. I've kept the faith. You say, that's definitely me. I'm just going to ask you to stand up with me. You say, I want to be a candidate to make that statement. I fought the good fight. Lord, I finished the race. Lord, I've kept the faith. Josh, you just put your hand on me, and we're going to pray. It's just a declaration. Lord, say, Lord, I acknowledge it's what I'm feeling. I acknowledge what you're speaking to me. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see the hands raised. We pray with me out loud together at the same time. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, pray with me, everyone, whether your hands raised or not. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love, which transcends any barrier. Lord, I ask, help me to make a difference by fulfilling your calling. Help me, Lord, to finish this race with a clean mind and a conscience. You may put your hands down. I need to ask about this. I have two more. I'm going to lead you up in prayers out loud after these two are also, okay? You hear Daniel say, Brother John, our church is praying for revival, man. We're asking, Lord, help serve our community. It's a great spirit, and I do feel that in this church. You serve your community. It's exciting. It's exciting. Here today, you say this. Brother John, help me to see the world not in my own eyes, but in your eyes.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.